Shabbat Shalom. This week's parasha is entitled Naso, which means to elevate or lift up. It covers Numbers chapter 421 to 789, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 89. You will most likely not find the words elevate or lift up in your Bible. Most likely you have something like, take a census of the sons of Gershon, as the start to verse 22. However, if we look at the Hebrew, which is Naso et Rosh b'nei Gershom, and that means elevate the heads, meaning take a census of the sons of Gershom, which is the start of this passage. Now, Mike Obaziel covered this next point last week, but since we're dealing with the line of Levi or Levi, in this week's reading, I will provide a quick review. Levi is the third son of Jacob. Levi had three sons, Gershom, the oldest, then Kohath, and finally Merari, the youngest. The Levites were responsible for various work regarding the tabernacle or the Mishkan, and we will discuss that later, but only Aaron and his sons could actually perform the worship service, Avodah in Hebrew, and the sacrifices. Aaron is the grandson of Kohath. Before we get into the actual numbers of the census of the sons of Levi, we are told what the duties are for each of these families. The duties are explained as if we were looking at the Israelis getting ready to pack up camp and head to a new location. The Kohathites were responsible for covering and moving the sacred objects, such as the Ark of the Covenant, the Table of the Bread of Presence, and other sacred bowls and implements. Therefore, they went into the deepest part of the tabernacle. Next, the Gershonites were responsible for removing all the woven materials, such as the curtains of the tabernacle and the tent of meeting and all the associated coverings, etc. And lastly, the Merarites had the heaviest job of dismantling the framework of the tabernacle and the outer court. When the new destination was reached, the work order was the opposite, with the Merarites putting up the framework of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and the outer court. Next, the Gershonites would put up all relevant coverings, and then the Kohathites would move in the sacred objects. We're also told that this work was to be done by the men of these families who were between the ages of 30 and 50. So with those parameters, we find out that with the census at this time, there were 2,630 Gershonites, 2,750 Kohathites, and 3,200 Merarites, which makes a total of 8,580 that could serve in these capacities. Now, the text does not make clear whether all these men served at the same time whenever a dismantling or building of the tabernacle, tent of meeting, and outer court was required. But it still struck me of what a massive operation it must have been to do these tasks. Later on, during the time of King David, he split up the work of the Levites into 24 courses, each course being a group that will work at the temple for a certain period of time. And that's in 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Now in chapter 6, we read about the law of the Nazarite. The word Nazarite should not be confused with Nazarene, which means a person from Nazareth. Rather, Nazarite means someone who is separated or consecrated. This person would dedicate himself to the Lord for a certain period of time, usually 30 to 100 days. During this time, the person who took the vow of the Nazarite could not drink wine or other grape products, could not cut their hair, and could not have contact with a dead body. If any of these conditions were not kept during the period of the vow, the person would have to start the time period over. They would have to wait 7 days, then dedicate themselves on the 8th day, and then begin the 30-day or however long time period the day after that. Although there were such men, such as Samson and the prophet Samuel, who were lifelong Nazarites, it was more common for this commitment to be a specified amount of time. At the end of chapter 6, we read about the Aaronic blessing, which is recited at times by our rabbis, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. This blessing was intended to put the name of the Lord on the people of Israel. Traditionally, this blessing was recited after the morning sacrifices at the tabernacle and later at the temple. And so you can get a sense of how ancient this prayer is. In chapter 7, we read about two offerings, one for the service of carrying the coverings and framework of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting and the outer court, and the other offering as a dedication offering for the altar. For the offering of transportation, there were 6 carts and 12 oxen, which were divided up as follows. The Gershonites received 2 carts and 4 oxen to use for transporting items they were responsible for, and the Merarites received 4 carts and 8 oxen for the items they were responsible for. The Kohathites did not receive any of this offering for carrying the sacred objects that they were responsible for, since they carried those items on their shoulders. As for the dedication offering for the altar, each day for 12 days, one tribe would present its offering. The offerings from each tribe on each day were exactly the same and presented in the same order in chapter 7. This consisted of a silver dish weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, both full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 gold pan weighing 10 shekels that was full of incense, 1 bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb that was 1 year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a sin offering. For the peace offering, there were 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs, which were 1 year old. For an explanation of the different types of offerings, please see Leviticus chapter 1 through chapter 6. Now, it seems that the reason the same text regarding the offerings of each tribe is listed by tribe is to demonstrate that no tribe gave more and no tribe gave less. They all gave the same amount in a demonstration that all tribes in this area were equal. So, what can we take away from today's parsha? Well, first, I think we can learn about division of labor from the example of the works performed by the Gershonites, Kohathites, and Merarites. Have there been times at work when someone has tried to do your job or you tried to do someone else's job? Sometimes this is necessary, but many times we need to focus on the tasks that are ours. This is especially true in marriage. So many times, husbands and wives will step into an area which is owned by the other person, and this can cause anger or resentment. Of course, I'm speaking about situations where help has not been requested or sought. One thing that Jennifer and I have found is that very early in our marriage, we decided to let the person that was better at certain tasks handle those areas. The other person could offer advice, but it was up to the person that owned the area to make the final decision. For example, Jennifer's in charge of all short-term finance, like bill paying, anything to do with the interior of the house, as in decorating and design of all the outside garden and plants. Of course, these are just a few examples of the items that she is responsible for. As for some of my responsibilities, I have all long-term finance, like investments, all decisions on purchases of appliances, even stoves and washing machines or dryers, and all car purchasing responsibility, as some examples. We have this breakdown throughout things we are responsible for in our married life, and we focus on the tasks that have been set before us and don't try to take over the responsibilities where the other person is in charge, unless we are requested to do so. Another thing I think we can take away from this parsha is the seriousness with which we should dedicate ourselves to serving the Lord, like the Nazarites. Of course, there is no need for us today to take a Nazarite vow, but we should serve the Lord with wholehearted dedication. This should be applicable in all ways, whether it's setting up or cleaning up at an oneg, reaching out to others with the love of the good news, or leadership and teaching roles within the congregation. And lastly, the Aaronic blessing should remind us of the blessings that we receive each day from the Lord. Even in times of difficulty, we need to remember that he loves us and that through accepting his precious Son, our Messiah, No matter how difficult life can be on this earth, there is a future of eternity in heaven without any of the tears or difficulties that we might face in this life.